Brethren moderators, Brother Hunt, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to appear before you again for our further consideration of the issues involved in the discussion tonight. And I had some charts made for Brother Hunt's, copies of the charts that I ran on the projector, and I forgot to give them to him, so I just passed them over to him in case he might want them for his own convenience. And then pass on to a discussion of the things that were mentioned in his speech just preceding this. I appreciate the privilege of being in this part of Kentucky and engaging in this debate. And as Brother Hunt told you, we met one time. That is, we didn't have a debate, I mean, but we met one time. We became acquainted over in Missouri. And since those over in Missouri demand that things be proved, then he proceeded to prove certain things, or at least he promised that he would. We should be glad to look into his proof as we go along. He said, I'm not going to bother Brother Porter's speech much. Well, he lived up to his promise. He didn't. And he said, I took only 5 notes, and I suppose that's all he had. At least he didn't refer even to that many. And so he's not going to pay much attention to what Brother Porter said. I just wonder what people think the negative is supposed to do. Is that the purpose of the negative in a debate, is not to bother the affirmative speech much? And Brother Hunt, you certainly didn't. You did not bother it much. I'm sure of that. In this audience, I'm sure you can see that you didn't bother it much. But I predict you bothered it just about as much as you're going to as we go along. And we're going to see more about that too. He then said that in order that you may get this thing, I want to give you the background for this discussion. He spent quite a time dealing with that background. Back in the early part of the 19th century, such men as the Thomas and Alexander Campbell and James O'Kelly, Barton W. Stone, and others began to plead with men to return to the Bible. And that they divided things into 2 heads, faith and opinion. He read from the Christian System, page 94 and 96, some statements from Alexander Campbell regarding the law of expediency. And concerning that, he had a number of things to say about meeting houses and baptistries and various places of assembly. Also, whether we eat a certain amount of bread, how much we eat or how much we do not eat, how much or how little. And many other things of that kind, the cup and the table and all things of that nature that may be involved in the realm of expediency. And he spent a great deal of time reading from Alexander Campbell along that line, drawing the distinction between faith and expediency. Now, Brother Hunt, I want to know, in which of those realms did Campbell put the instrument? Would you tell us? Would you tell us? You brought Alexander Campbell up now as some authority on this. So tell us where Alexander Campbell put the mechanical instrument. Did he put it in the realm of faith or opinion? Where did he put it? Julian, would you tell us? You tell us. All right. And was it a matter of expediency? Did Alexander Campbell ever advocate the mechanical instrument as a matter of expediency, like the song books and the meeting house and the baptistry and things of that kind that he mentioned on those pages you read from a while ago? Did he? Is that where he put it? Did he, Julian? He didn't put it there, did he? No, he didn't, Julian. You know he didn't put it there. And therefore, his reading from Alexander Campbell has backfired on him the very beginning of the debate, and his proof, he's entirely upset, and the background becomes his failure. And he said there were 3 religious groups that had grown out of this movement. And 1, the modernists, which have gone to the left, and they accept just about anything. And others have gone to the right, but he referred to as the Churches of Christ, and they occupy the position of anti-ism, he said. And they were making the expediences matters of law. And then the Christian church that occupies the middle ground. Well, I wonder just which portion of the Christian church occupies the middle ground. Brother Hunt, do those who support and advance and build and maintain the United Christian Missionary Society occupy the middle ground? Do you oppose the United Christian Missionary Society? Do you oppose that? Would you oppose that as unscriptural? Is there any law against it? You got something on here about where there's no law. And give us some law against the United Christian Missionary Society. Do you oppose it or accept it? Now don't forget to tell us about it. He turned then to his chart into the three realms. On the three realms he has first the realm of faith, Ephesians 4:5, that involves commandments, examples, and inferences. In the second place, the realm of expediency, 1 Corinthians 6:12, which he says is the realm of human judgment that must not violate divine laws. And in these particular ways, our age and practices must not change God's laws. They must not usurp authority over God's laws. And our age and practices must not be wrong within themselves. Of course, on the basis of that, he endeavors to justify instrumental music. He hasn't said a great deal about it in that particular point, but that's the basis of it. That's the thing he has in mind on it. And since, as he would contend, that the instrument of music does not change God's law, that is, you still sing, and it doesn't usurp authority over God's law because you still sing it, and that is not wrong within itself, therefore it may be used as an aid in the realm of expediency. That these are the three prongs. Let's break them off and see how your prongs look, Brother Stenheim. And let's try your three prongs on the blackberry jam for the Lord's table as an aid in eating the bread. And don't elevate it into the position of the bread, but just as an aid to make it more palatable, you see, and make it better for you to eat it. So it aids you in eating the bread. The bread's rather dry, and a little blackberry jam will make it taste better and aid you. All right, how about that? Well, that would be an aid in that, and it doesn't change God's law because you're still eating the bread. It doesn't usurp authority over God's law because you're still eating the bread, and it's not wrong within itself. And therefore, upon the basis of his three prongs, we can put blackberry jam on the Lord's table and eat it as an aid to eating the bread. You'll have to hunt some other prongs, Brother Julian. Those are entirely too dull. He gave me some questions here, and I'll get to them just now. First, he says, do such aids as songbooks, communion sets, recording machines, and so forth operate in the realm of faith or opinion? Well, the realm of faith includes commandments, examples, and inferences. And in carrying out these commandments which are in the realm of faith, or the examples as the case may be, your aids may be used. Of course, they belong in the realm of expediency. Nobody denies that, but expediency has to do with carrying out divine commands, as we shall find again as we go along. Second, if they operate in the realm of faith, are they not on the par with such acts as singing, prayer, baptism, and the Lord's Supper? Well, I've shown them the only sense in which they operate in the realm of faith is that they're simply aids of doing what God commanded. And third, if they operate in the realm of opinion, how can their use be scriptural? And does God have scripture laws in the realm of opinion? If so, does this not make the realm of opinion the realm of faith, hence destroying the realm of opinion? No, we'll have to see about that. Let's just change them around a little. And Brother Hunt, do such aids as pipes and trumpets and harps and organs and pianos operate in the realm of faith or opinion? And that's your own question, just reworded and handed back to you. Would you think to tell us about it? Do those things operate in the realm of opinion or faith? And second, if they operate in the realm of opinion, are they not on the par with such acts as singing, prayer, baptism, and the Lord's Supper? And third, if they operate in the realm of opinion, how can their use be scriptural? Does God have scripture laws in the realm of opinion on instruments? Does it? If so, does this not make the realm of opinion the realm of faith, hence destroying the realm of opinion? And just turns right back on it. Then he gives the consequence. If Brother Porter says aids operate in the realm of faith, he makes them essential and places them on the par with all scriptural precepts. All right? If Brother Hunt says that aids operate in the realm of faith, then he makes them essential and places them on the par with all scriptural precepts. Then he says, if Porter says aids operate in the realm of opinion, he must admit that they are not scriptural, or else make scripture matters of opinion. All right, then if Brother Hunt says that these instruments operate in the realm of opinion, he must admit that they are not scripture, or else he'll make scripture matters of opinion. And then he said in the next place, but he cannot afford to say aids are not scriptural, for this surrenders his proposition. And Brother Hunt cannot afford to say that aids are not scriptural, because if he does, he will surrender his proposition for the second and the third and fourth nights of this debate. Now, I've been a very amusing thing here in this connection that Brother Hunt brought up was this. He said expediency is scriptural. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful in thee, but all things are not expedient. Brother Hunt says expedients are scriptural. But he says song books are not scriptural. And yet he says song books are an expedient. Now, let me see you get out of that. yes, sir. Expediency is scriptural. Song books are not scriptural, but song books belong to expediency. Tell me, brother. If song books belong to expedience and the expedience is scripture, why wouldn't song books be scripture too?
And therefore, he makes the thing that belongs to expediency unscriptural, but the expedience itself is scriptural. So the thing is both scriptural and unscriptural.
By the way, I want to know, can you use instrumental music as aids? Do you use them as aids? Do you?
Well, you said before you got through that you did, and we'll have more to say about that when we reach it in the note. Another quite amusing thing was that just before he sat down, he said, now regarding all of these charts over here, that I agree with every one of them except the last one. Well, that's fine. We made good progress, didn't we? And the first 12 charts was given to show that we may scripturally use song books and collection plates and baptistries and pools and rivers and oceans and cars and trains and various things of that kind and doing what the Lord said, that we may scripturally use them. And you then says, I agree with you. Yet he says they're not scriptural. I agree with all of them, but I deny all of them. Every one of them, Judah, was introduced to show that we can do it scripturally. And you say, I take every one of them except the last one. Then you turn around and say, there's not a one of them scripture, but I take them all. You said that we cannot scripturally use these things. I just want to ask him this question. Regarding songbooks and trains and baptistries and things of that kind, that may be used within the realm of expediency to carry out the commandments that God obeyed. You say they're not scriptural. I want to know then, Julian, are they unscriptural? Tell me now in your next speech. If they're not scriptural, are they unscriptural? Is it unscriptural to use them? Can they be used in harmony with the scripture, or are they contrary to the scripture? Now you watch and see how he answers the question. I'm afraid he'll not bother that much. He went up here to the top of his chart and first to be scriptural, a matter must be a part of the scriptures. Upon that basis, he argued that the songbooks are not scriptural, and yet he said they belong to expediency, which is scriptural. Well, if songbooks are not scripture, they belong to expediency, which is scripture. I just need a little more clarifying. I don't think his background has made it quite clear enough for us. Let us have a little more clarifying on that point, Julian. He called our attention to another point, that there's no law. And that this proposition that Brother Porter is affirming is a matter of a human creed. That there's no law, that these things are not mentioned in the Scriptures. Songbooks are not mentioned in the Scriptures. And when I say that I can scripturally use them, or I can scripturally oppose this and use that if they're not mentioned in the Scriptures, then I'm making a code or a creed. I'm setting up a human creed. Well, Brother Hunt, can you scripturally oppose blackberry jam on the Lord's table? Can you scripturally oppose blackberry jam on the Lord's table? You would oppose it, wouldn't you? Or would you take it as an aid? Well, just whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter to me. Just use your own discretion.
I would prefer, if you don't mind, preaching to the audience, because I'll answer you everything you had to say.
Oh, you didn't. You said you didn't want to bother it much. You didn't. No, you haven't answered. No, that's hard to say. You didn't bother it. That's what I'm talking about.
You didn't bother mine either.
I'm going right down through yours, but you didn't bother mine. That's a fact. I didn't say if you'd answer in your seat. That's up to you. If you want to answer in your seat, all right. I just leave that up to you. And so, the matter of a human creed. Now, if I oppose a thing, if I oppose instrumental music as an aid to singing, I'm setting up a human creed. Then I want to know if that's so, why he's not setting up a human creed if he opposes blackberry jam as an aid to eating the Lord's Supper. He says he'll answer. Let us see if he does. I'm doubting that he does. His rules on the chart, it must be a part of the Scripture. Second, anything in the Scripture can be identified in the words of the Scripture. And the instrument, of course, he said is found in the Scripture, but he can't find the instrument in Christian word, worship in the Scripture. And therefore, it breaks down on that. Gets down to his expedience again, and I've already given you that. And regarding the negative, he said you do not have, thing doesn't have to be mentioned. That is the negative, he said, thing doesn't have to be mentioned in order for it to be scriptural. And he said on that basis, it'd be all right to sprinkle and to kiss the Pope's big toe and so on. Well, I wonder if you could scripturally pose sprinkling, could you? Could you, Julian, could you scripturally oppose sprinkling for baptism? Could you oppose kissing the Pope's big toe? Could you oppose it scripturally? Brother Hunt, could you oppose scripturally counting beads or praying to the Virgin Mary? Could you do that scripturally? Tell us how you oppose those things. You couldn't make any scriptural opposition, could you? And they're not mentioned in the Scriptures, therefore he couldn't oppose them scripturally. And I want to know upon what basis you oppose kissing the Pope's big toe. Upon what basis do you oppose sprinkling babies for baptism? Upon what basis will you oppose counting beads or praying to the Virgin Mary or various other things like that or the crucifixes or anything of that nature? Upon what basis can you oppose those things? They're not mentioned in the Scripture. You can't oppose them scripturally. So how are you going to oppose him? Now that shows the absurdity of his argument, and that which proves too much proves nothing. And his proof, therefore, is lacking, and it goes down in utter ruin. He said, yes, Brother Porter, I'll agree that we both use the song books, but we don't use them in the same way. You use them as something belonging within the limits of the Scripture, and I use them, I suppose, as an unscriptural thing. I'm wanting to know, Julian, do you use songbooks unscripturally? You say you can't scripturally use them. I want to know how you use them. Do you use them unscripturally? And then it was right amusing. He came to the matter of the songbook again. He said, now, from the songbook gets the words for us. A tuning fork gets the pitch. Then it says the instrument of music keeps the pitch. And that when I pray, I'm still singing, just as when I go on a train, I'm still going. No, it's not parallel, Julian. Put us that back up here, chart number 12 again. You don't have your parallel there at all. You don't have it at all. No, that's chart number one. Let's have chart number one, the going first, the going on the train. And we're going to see if he has the same thing on chart number one that he has on chart number 13. Switch these lights off, please. On chart number one, we have the commandment to go in Matthew 28:19. Now, there's the commandment the Lord said. There's the commandment the Lord gave. If you go in a car, you're doing only what the Lord said. You're not doing anything but go. That's all. You're just going. If it's on a train, you're still going. That's all you're doing. If it's on a plane or a boat, you're still going. And he said, that's exactly the way that it is with the instrument. All right, give us chart number 13 now, and let's see if that's exactly the way it is. Well, let's have chart number 12 just before 13 to give us the proper connection there. On chart number 12, we have the commandment to sing. You got to scan number one again. Number 12, the commandment to sing in Ephesians 5:19. In which Paul says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In this we have the commandment to sing. Now if you use the song book, you are doing nothing but sing. You are just singing, that's what the Lord said. Just like if you go on the train, you're doing nothing but go. You ride a train, you ride a plane, you ride in a car, you are going. The Lord said go, you're doing nothing but go. Or if you sing with a song book, or you sing without one, you use notes or you don't use them and so on, you're still doing nothing but sing. That's what the Lord said. Now then, chart number 13. Now then, we have here the commandment to pray. Suppose, Brother Hunt, we just forget all about saying for the time being and just look at the word play. And say that the Lord commands us to play the instrument. All right, we can use a harp or a pipe or an organ or a trumpet or a piano as an aid to obeying that commandment, can't we? And if I use a harp, I'm doing nothing but play. And that would be what the commandment would say. If I use a pipe or organ or a trumpet, I'm doing nothing but play. But I'm not singing, am I? Playing is something entirely separate from singing. It's another element altogether. It's another music, another kind of music. And so you use the harp to play, you use the song book and the notes to sing. And you use the organ and the trumpet and the piano to play, but you don't use them to sing. They're not an aid to singing. If you pray on the harp and the pipe and the organ at the same time you're singing, he says, I'm still singing. All right, in that case then, Brother Hunt, you are playing and singing. Isn't that so? You'd be playing and singing. Or if you go on the train, you are going and what's this? What's this? And if you sing with a song book, you are singing and what's the other? Well, if you sing with a song book, you're doing nothing but sing. If you go on a train, you're doing nothing but go. But if you play on an instrument and continue your singing, you are both singing and playing. You're doing two things where the Lord said one thing. And therefore, you do have your addition, just like you'd have an addition. When the Lord said eat bread, you'd start eating blackberry jam with it. And you'd be eating more than the Lord said. You can say, well, I'm eating jam, but I'm still eating bread. And that's what he said. I'm still singing while I'm praying. I'm still singing while I'm praying. Lord, I'm still eating bread while I'm eating blackberry jam. And upon that basis, then we have divine authority for blackberry jam as an aid to eating the bread at the Lord's table. If not, why not? Julian, tell us why. Please bother just a little, will you? Well, that gets about all. If I miss something, I've overlooked, or if I have you call my attention to it, I'd be glad to notice it. And now how much time do I have? About 9 minutes. All right. We want to look at a few other things now in this connection. When God gave specific commandments, these commandments exclude additions and substitutions. Of course, there are certain changes in God's law that people may make in doing certain ways. Some commandments may usurp authority over, that is, they let them take precedence over God's commandments. Some things may be wrong within themselves. All of that may be true, but at the same time, other things may be substitutions and things may be additions. You can have your blackberry jam on the basis of these, but it becomes an addition. Therefore, it becomes wrong. So we have specific commandments. God commanded Noah to build an ark. In Genesis 6:14, he told him to make an ark of gopher wood. God specified the kind of ark to be built by Noah. There is a specific commandment. There were certain things, however, that would belong in the realm of expediency. God did not specify the tools that Noah might use in building that ark. He did not specify the means of transportation that he might use in getting the material to where the ark was built, or many other things that might become aids or belong within the realm of expediences. However, God did say to build an ark of gopher wood. The matters belonging to the realm of expediency could be used without violating that commandment. But if Noah had built another building that God had not specified, of oak wood, which was contrary to the wood that God designated, I want to know, Judah, would that have been an addition and disobedience to the divine requirement? Would it? And God said, erect one building of gopher wood. Noah erects that building of gopher wood, but he erects another building of oak wood. Now, that's all right, because while he's erecting this one too here. He's erecting both of them at the same time, you see, just like he sang some plays at the same time. So Noah could erect both of them at the same time. He could have a bunch of laborers working over here and a bunch over here. Some of them erecting an ark of gopher wood, others making an ark of oak wood. Now, I want to know if the commandment would allow that or whether that becomes an addition and therefore sinful. Please bother it. And then we have another statement relative to another incident in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and Leviticus 16, verse 12. The offering of incense by the sons of Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. God required, according to Leviticus 16 and 12, that the fire used to offer the offering of incense must come from the altar where fire was kept burning continually. But in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, we learned that Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire, which the Lord had not commanded. The Lord told them the fire to use. They used fire from some other source. They used another fire, which the Lord had not commanded, and they lost their lives in the experiment. Fire came down from heaven and devoured them. God's displeasure was shown upon them. Noah would have been adding to what God said if he had built another building in addition to what God required. And Nadab and Abihu violated God's commandment by using another fire instead of the one that God required. And that was sin. That became wrong. And the same thing in the Lord's Supper. The Lord specified the bread and the fruit of the vine to represent or picture to us his body and his blood. But if we use blackberry jam along with the bread and pour some orange juice in the wine, there's an aid to help us in taking that if we happen not to like the taste of it otherwise. Then we're just using those as aids, but we've added other elements of food. Now I want to know, Brother Hutz, would blackberry jam added to the Lord's table in connection with the bread be an addition and sinful? Would pouring orange juice in the fruit of the vine become an addition and therefore sinful? Or could you do it as an aid? It wouldn't be unscriptural to do it because it doesn't say anything about orange juice or blackberry jam. And so you couldn't do it from that standpoint. It wouldn't be unscriptural to do it. It wouldn't be scriptural to do it, you say. But I want to know, would it be an addition? Or just what particular category would you place it in anyway? And then in the matter of worship, God said, sing, as I showed you on that chart. 2 minutes? All right. In the matter of worship, God said, sing. Ephesians 5:20-5:19. There you have vocal music. One kind of music, just as there's one kind of art. Brother Hunt makes another kind of music on the instrument, just as Noah might have built another ark with oak wood. And that other music becomes an addition to what God required, just as the other ark would be an addition, just as blackberry jam would be an addition. And just as the strange fire offered by Nadab and Abihu and was in addition to what God had said and therefore became a substitution if they threw their other aside completely. I wonder if he'll accept an addition if it doesn't become a substitution. I just wonder if he will. He opposed a substitution a while ago. Will you accept an addition, Brother Hunt, if it doesn't become a substitution? As long as you don't substitute, is it already all right to add? Now, please don't forget to tell us. Can we add just so we don't substitute? And if we can, then we know just how to proceed regarding some of these matters. And I'm insisting, friends, tonight, that an instrument of music does not belong in the same category with songbooks and does not sustain the same relationship to sing the songbooks sustain, or that voice parts or that notes sustain to sing. They sustain a relationship to another thing altogether, another act, and that act is play. And I thank you very kindly.
Yes, Brother Porter, ladies and gentlemen. You know, an old trick of debating, and Brother Porter is a champion in the field, is to appear like that he has something when he doesn't. That's one great trick. To be jolly and to smile, and especially if you're rattled, to always talk to your opponent. And instead of talking to the crowd and to the audience. Now, I've been studying this subject for 20 years, and I appreciate if he can talk anything that I can learn about it, I'll be glad to accept it, but I feel like that I can get it from my seat. He'll just address his conversation politely to the audience, because it may appear in some people's minds that he has something when, by his attitude, and of course that isn't what we're after. We're after the truth. Now, he said I didn't touch his argument much. I admit that I didn't plan to. Usually, I think that it's nothing but fair for a negative speaker to deal with the proposition in an affirmative sense. Now, most negative speakers don't do that, but most debaters don't try to maybe put over as much as they ought to. I hope that they would, but nevertheless, that's that. Now, I'm going to answer Brother Porter. He wanted to know where Alexander Campbell put the instrument, and I'm going to answer him. However, all of this crying out, Julian, won't you please tell us? It isn't my job to do the telling. He's in the affirmative. Not my job to do the telling all the way through. No, indeed. I'm only obligated as I see fit to bring in my counter-arguments in affirmative sense. But this is an effort to get me to do all the answering and all the telling, to twist me into the affirmative. Now, that isn't fair, of course. And you who do not know debating, you know now that that isn't fair. Now, Alexander Campbell, my friend, made a statement one time that instrumental music in the Assembly of God was like a cowbell in a concert. That's what Alexander Campbell said. Now, Alexander Campbell made statements that Brother Porter will not endorse. He definitely favored the Missionary Society. He was the president of the American Christian Missionary Society, the first one they ever had, and stayed that way until he died. Now, many of those pioneers made statements under certain conditions. And because that statement was made one time under certain conditions, these brethren drag it out as if though Alexander Campbell opposed instrumental music in every sense. That's quite an assumption. But in the days of Campbell and the pioneers, this country was young and unsettled. And truly, the little church houses, now Cane Ridge Meeting House out here is an example, that little log cabin, Barton W. Stone Campbell preached in there. I suppose that if they had that kind of a church house, what kind of an instrument you suppose they had sitting in that house? I guess that it would sound like a cowbell in a concert indeed. And he could have made a statement about that and possibly did. But the argument he made on the law of expediency shows that the man classified all these things, my friend, as in the realm of human opinion. And if he'd been pushed to an issue, I'm quite sure that he would not have taken the stand with Brother Poor up on the subject. Now he wanted to know where I'd put blackberry jam on the Lord's table. He'd said it didn't change. Now he said my three prongs wouldn't work. And to some people, it seemed to look pretty good, but it won't stand He said blackberry jam on the Lord's table. That didn't change the supper. It didn't usurp authority over it. And of course, blackberry jam not wrong within itself. So where's Hunt's principle? Well, here's where Hunt's principle is. Blackberry jam, does blackberry jam aid to take the Lord's supper? Now, you're in the affirmative. Please, you go ahead and tell us. That's the difference in blackberry jam and the Lord's supper and instrumental music. Now, instrumental music does aid a man to get the pitch and to carry the tune of a song. And therefore, it's not in the same class of blackberry jam. There's a lot of things doesn't change. Now, usurp authority, not wrong. But the first thing he's got to do is to prove that that thing aids. Now, if he'll prove that blackberry jam aids, then I'll answer his argument, of course. Now, he wanted to show that my questions turned on me. Oh, that's an old trick. And that, it isn't a question whether it turned on me or not. The question is, he's in the affirmative. And he's the one to show, my friend, the realm in which he's in. Brother Porter is wise enough to see where these questions put him. Now, I'm going to show you they do not turn on me. Do such aids as psalm books, communion sets, recording machines, and so forth operate in the realm of faith or opinion? Brother Porter puts them in the realm of faith because he says they are scriptural, and that's in the realm of faith. I put them in the realm of opinion. They're on the outside of the Word of God. Now he wanted to know whether they were unscriptural, whether the instrumental music was unscriptural. Well, I'm going to answer that in regard to psalm books and tuning forks. They are unscriptural because they're on the outside of the Word of God. Now, there's three words that you got to take into consideration. A thing is either scriptural or unscriptural or anti-scriptural. The word anti means against. Now, psalm books and tuning forks are not anti-scriptural. They're not against scriptural. But unscriptural is anything on the outside of the scriptures is unscriptural. They are not scriptural because they're not in there. They are not anti-scriptural because they are not wrong. But they are unscriptural because they're on the outside of the Word of God. Now, that's answered that. I'll answer all those things. Now, he wanted to know whether this question turned against me. He wanted to know whether that instrumental music was in the realm of faith or in the realm of opinion. If instrumental music is used solely as an aid, it would be used in the realm of opinion. It would not have to be scriptural. Now, the whole thing is this. Brother Porter realizes that if he's got to make his aid scriptural and the piano on the outside of the scriptures are else going to get in the same category. And since he believes that they're not in the same category, why, then he comes and makes his scriptural. Now, if he puts his aids on the outside of the scriptural, and then I'm going to demand that my aid be on the outside of the scriptural, and we'll all use them out in the realm of human judgment, just as he uses the train and the airplane and all those things. Now, you tell him about 10 minutes, because I'll have something here for you. All right, that answered that. Those questions are in what Brother Porter here, if they operate in the realm of opinion, how can their use be scriptural? Now, does God have scriptural laws in the realm of opinion? He knows that if these aids are in the realm of opinion, that they are the Word of God and that they are essential. And in connection with that, I'm going to call your attention to the second principle in reply. A third principle, that everything necessarily contained in the teaching of the scriptures can be identified or must be done before that scripture is obeyed. Now, if psalm books and tuning forks are in the teaching of the Word of God, then, my friend, before that part of the Word of God can be obeyed, then psalm books and tuning forks must be used. Then the question comes, did the apostles use them? Did the apostles ride airplanes? Did the apostles preach over radio? Did the apostles use recording machines? It would have been a mighty handy thing for the Apostle Paul to, in his missionary journeys, to stood and broadcast the gospel in all the world. He didn't have that aid. But if that aid is a scriptural aid, then the Apostle Paul did not obey the scriptures because he didn't preach over a radio. They cannot be scriptural. They're out in the realm of opinion. Now you said that I agreed with him everything on his chart. I agreed only in one degree. And I said, I agree that a man may ride an automobile to go preach the gospel. But I disagree when he said that automobile is scriptural. Then he thought he had a contradiction here. He said, I said that the law of expediency was scriptural. It is. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. Then he said, I catalog a psalm book and tuning fork under the law of expediency. Well, no, I do not catalog it under the law of expediency in the sense in which he interprets it. Now let me illustrate to you. Take, for instance, James 1:27. Here is the law of expediency. Or it's the statement says to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What does that statement teach? I believe, my friend, that smoking cigarettes is wrong. I will not use tobacco in any form. I think it's a sin. But I cannot take the word of God and prove it's a sin. Well, you say, what do you do? James 1:27 says to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, I say that cigarettes spots the life of a Christian. Therefore, he ought not to smoke. But now, does James 1:27 teach that? Absolutely not. What does it teach? It teaches to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's what taught there. Tobacco is not mentioned. It's not taught. But that is a principle, my friend, that has to be interpreted. And when you begin to interpret principles, that puts it out in the realm of human interpretation, human authority. That doesn't mean that it's wrong. That doesn't mean that it's right. But it does mean that it's in the human realm of opinion, and opinions are subject to change. And the only thing that a man can do is to wait till the judgment day to find out whether he is right or wrong on that particular thing. And since I think that cigarettes is risky business, I refuse to have anything to do with it. Now, the Word of God teaches that it's wrong to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, the Word of God teaches that the law of expediency. But the law of expediency doesn't catalog song books and tuning forks any more than to keep oneself unspotted from the world catalogs tobacco. Don't you see? Now, tobacco is not in the Word of God, but to keep oneself unspotted from the world is. The principle is there. But when you have to interpret that principle, that makes it on human authority, human judgment, and that is out there in the realm that God has not made any law. And when a man sets, if I set up the cigarettes as a test of fellowship, and I don't, many of my brothers smoke, I preach and tell them they ought not to because it's risky. But I do not lay down a law as a test of fellowship. If I did, I would make a law against cigarettes like he's made a law against the instrument. And if I would bar my brother from the door of the church, I would have them obeying a law on human interpretation. And that is in the realm of opinion. That's no ground for test of fellowship. Test of fellowship can only be on faith and not made on opinion. Now, this audience is intelligent, and you can understand those things. You tell me now, about half my time's up. Now, he says, I oppose sprinkling. Say, Brother Hunt, do you oppose sprinkling? Why do you oppose sprinkling? Do you oppose sprinkling because it's unscriptural? I oppose sprinkling because it's a substitute for baptism. That's a barrel. I do not substitute instrumental music for singing. We sing in the Christian church. But when a man removes immersion out the door and brings in sprinkling, he's moved the Word of God out and brought in the authority of man. But if I bring in, if I still retain singing, and then use an instrument to aid me to do that commandment, I'm still doing just what God told me to do. I haven't added the instrument any more to singing than Brother Porter has added the automobile in going out to preach the gospel. If one will work, they both will work. And I'll show you in my little arguments in a few minutes after I answer everything he says here. All right, now that answer, you should see how easy that is. Just falls in line. Now he says, Brother Hunt, I want to know. He says, when you sing, you also do something else. You play. You do two things. Well, when Brother Porter strikes the tuning fork, doesn't he do two things when he sings and strikes the tuning fork? You'll have to admit that the sound of a tuning fork is doing the service of God. I want to ask Brother Porter this. Suppose, Brother Porter, you say, well, now, the service of singing, the tuning fork stopped before the song begins. That's his argument. Now, here I'm going to ask him this question. Suppose you gather together in the church and you sing the old rugged cross. Beginning of that, you strike a tuning fork. Now, that's the sound of music. You get your pitch for the old rugged cross and you sing that song. Then you strike the tuning fork again. You sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I want to know if the place between the two songs is in the worship of God. If so, then when you strike that tuning fork, you strike an extra sound and note of music in the service of God. He also does two things. Now I want to show you something else. Not only that, my friend, in the Old Testament they had the song leader. In 1 Chronicles 6:31 and 32, it's mentioned there about song leaders. There's not a thing in the New Testament about a song leader. Not a one. Now I want to know if Brother Porter and his congregation, if he has a song leader, he gets up here and he swings and sings, the song leader does. He beats the time. 1, 2, 3, 4. He sings and swings. Now there's two acts. This just happens during the service. There's the act of swinging. I remember one time that I went to a certain church and to visit. It wasn't the Church of Christ, nor a Christian church. But the preacher said, let us all stand and give the Lord a wave offering. I never heard of a wave offering in my life before. And so they all stood up, and everybody got out their handkerchief and they began to wave to give the Lord a wave offering. And the man right behind me began to wave. Everybody, I stood dumbfounded. I never heard of that before in my life. And he began to give the Lord a wave offering. All at once, the fellow got too full of the Holy Ghost. He climbed behind me, and he cracked me on the ear. And I reached up and got a hold of my ear, and I reached back and got my handkerchief. I thought if there's going to be a wave offering, I was going to get in that flipping match too, because they flipped one another where I came from, and it went on too long. Now, my friend, the same thing, that was still an act. And in Brother Porter's congregation, they have a song director. Now, in his church, they sing and swing. In our congregation, we sing and play. Now, I want to know if in my congregation there's two acts, why aren't there two acts in his congregation? The act of the piano in my congregation, the act of the swinging of the song leader in his. The song leader is to keep the rest of the people together. And the piano is to keep the rest of the people together. Only it's a much better aid, actually, than a song leader. In fact, about it, why not use both of them? There's no need that a man should just have one. Now, you want to know if Noah, when he built the ark, could put anything in the ark besides gopher wood? Absolutely not. He had to put gopher wood in that ark because it was specified. But that didn't keep Noah from using a hickory hammer handle or a walnut axe handle or handle or something else. He could use different kinds of wood to aid him in his tools to carry out the commandment to build that ark out of gopher wood. Just like that we, when God commanded us to sing, we've got to sing. But God didn't say anything about a songbook, didn't say anything about a tuning fork, and we'll grant for the sake of argument, he didn't say anything about an instrument. He didn't have to say anything about an instrument to be used in the category of a tuning fork and a songbook. It isn't necessary that I produce scripture if he doesn't have to produce it. He's promised to produce it, but where is his scripture? When you go home tonight, you get your Bibles and you read where Brother Porter found a songbook and tuning fork in the Word of God. He found the law of expediency. But that's far from being, my friend, a songbook and a tuning fork. Just as far as tobacco is from keeping oneself unspotted from the world. That's the teaching that's there. But when you begin to interpret that, then you're out in the realm of opinion. And you're treading on dangerous ground if you're not careful. All right. Now you want to know, can we add if it's not a substitute? All right, here it is, Brother Porter. He said, I said a man couldn't add because it's not a substitute. Now, any aid that is used in the service of God is not an addition if it doesn't change God's law. Now, usurp authority over it, and it's not wrong within itself. Now, let me try some aids by this. For instance, you take a songbook. Now, a songbook doesn't change God's commandment to sing because you sing and use a songbook. A songbook doesn't usurp authority over singing. A songbook is not wrong within itself. Therefore, a songbook could not add to that commandment to sing. Now, listen to this. Instrumental music does not change singing because you're singing and using it at the same time. Instrumental music does not usurp authority over singing because usually just one plays and the whole congregation sings. So there's so many more people singing than there are playing, well, then it could not usurp authority over it. Is the piano wrong within itself? Why, no. Therefore, it's a good aid. Now, my friend, a thing, here's one principle, Brother Porter, I want you to listen to this. A thing cannot aid to do a commandment and change that commandment at the same time. For instance, if I were going, suppose that you work for a company, and that company sent you to New York City on a mission and a journey. You're riding your automobile to aid you to go to New York. But on that journey, you decided that you'd disobey your company. And you take that automobile and steer it to California. Now, that automobile could not aid you to obey the command of that company to go to New York and change that commandment and take you to California at the same time. Now, if instrumental music, if it's granted that instrumental music aids, and it certainly aids you to get the pitch, it aids you to stay on the tune. Now, if instrumental music aids a man to sing, it cannot aid you to do that commandment and change that commandment at the same time. That is absolutely an impossibility. Therefore, it doesn't. Well, no, if we could use, can we add if it's not a substitute? No, you can't add. But instrumental music is not an addition if it doesn't change or usurp authority and it's not wrong within itself. And it certainly doesn't violate that principle. Now, that's everything that is said. All right. Now, I'm going to give you an argument here, my friend. That's it. Did you say anything else? If you did, well, I'll be glad to answer. All right. Now, I want to give you an argument and showing you what Brother Porter does. He's down on the instrument. That's the only E. He picked it out among all of them. In Romans 12:1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the thought of this argument is that our bodies must be presented holy, acceptable unto God. But how can they be presented acceptable unto God? Answer, by obeying God's commandments. I can present my ears acceptable to God by obeying the commandment God has given to my ears. I can present my eyes acceptable by obeying the commandment God has given to my eyes. I can present my feet acceptable to God as a part of my body by obeying the commandment that God has given to my feet. All right. Now my argument is this. The human body is imperfect. God's laws are not imperfect. They're perfect. But our approach to those laws are imperfect. Our bodies are imperfect. And therefore they need aiding in everything we do. I'm not a perfect man myself. Neither physically, morally, nor spiritually. And I don't know if any other man is either, as far as that's concerned, to 100%. Now, my argument is this, that every part of a man's body nearly is imperfect and has to be aided. Now, I'm going to show you that God has given a commandment to different parts of the body. First of all is the ears, in Revelation 2:7. Why it said, let him that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now there's a commandment to hear. In order to obey that commandment, I've got to use my ears to hear. Well, now we may use an earphone to aid us if we are deaf. Brother Porter will agree to that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, why it says, I charge thee that this epistle be read among all the holy brethren. In order to obey that commandment, we've got to use our eyes. Now if a man has weak eyes like a lot of these brethren do, including Brother Porter himself has glasses on, he used those glasses to aid his eyes. He agrees to that. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it speaks there that we shall work with our hands. Now, in working with our hands, we may use tools like gloves or hammers or saws or anything else. Brother Porter agrees to that. In Luke 14:23, it mentions that we are to go out in the hedges and byways to compel them to come in, that the Lord's house might be filled. In obeying that commandment, we may use a crutch or a cane or anything to help our bodies if it's so needed. In Luke 24:17, there's a commandment to the feet. We may use shoes. Brother Porter will agree in obeying that commandment. Now, my friend, I want to say this in regard to that. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25, we may present our bodies holy and acceptable unto God, and who seeks his age in obeying God's commandment to assemble. Brother Porter will say, sure, that's all right. But listen to this one. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. We may present our voices holy, acceptable unto the Lord, and use a piano or an organ and so forth as aids. Brother Porter says, no, never. I deny and reject this. But my brethren, I'm bound to say, oh, consistency, thou art a jewel. My argument is this. If earphones to aid the ears, and glasses to aid the eyes, and radios to aid us to preach with our mouths, false teachers, he said, to aid us to chew the loaf in the Lord's Supper, hammers and gloves to aid our hands to obey God's commandments, crutches and canes to aid us to walk to go preach, and shoes and seats and so forth. I will not present the body from being presented holy and acceptable unto God. Why would, my friend, why can we not use a piano or something like that to aid us to, with our voices in singing? How in the name of common sense, reason, or revelation can our respondent contend that God will accept the praise of an individual while he is using an aid to his ears, an aid to his eyes, an aid to his mouth, an aid to his hands, an aid to his legs, an aid to his feet, and reject an aid to a man's voice? He tells us that he can consistently and scripturally do that. Why, it's preposterous and ridiculous. It's just childish quibbling. It's imagination that's built on some statements like Campbell made during the days of this country when it's first discovered when a cowbell truly sounded like an instrument truly sounded like a cowbell in a concert. I remember up in West Virginia, I was holding a meeting up there, and the pianist, regular pianist, was present. I said, anybody here to play the piano? And somebody said, so-and-so plays, and I went over and I said, will you play the piano for me, please? She said, I'll tell you, preacher, I play by ear. She meant she played by ear, I suppose. And it was by error, sure enough, because that really sounded to me like a cowbell in a concert. But that's no sign. There's always corruptions. You can have a bad speaker here, or you can have a bad songbook, and you can have anything that's corrupted. And, of course, it's not good. Now, I'm going to read something here that I got a letter from one of Brother Porter's friends in the Church of Christ. He's against the music. This man is from Gallipies, Ohio. Said, Dear Julian, I have a few words concerning Brother Porter and his inconsistency. Now, mind you, I believe him to be right on the music question, but he is altogether wrong on the one body question. Now notice, Brother Porter believes that God authorizes only one kind of music for the church to offer unto him in this Christian dispensation. But is he consistent? Verily I say no, for he upholds other kinds of organizations to do the work that God's divine organization, the one body, was ordained to do. Julian, I believe that you can take this argument and really make it stick. I've tried it on my own brethren, those who uphold Christian colleges and orphans' homes, and it worked every time. Notice the following. First, there's a syllogism. Porter believes that God authorized only one kind of music for the church to offer unto God. Porter believes that God's divine organization, the church, is to do all that God wants done in the spiritual realm. But Porter upholds other kinds of organizations to deal in spiritual work, namely Christian colleges to teach the word. Now, here's the parallel. Porter says that singing is a music. Playing is another kind of music. So since God specified singing, we have no right to make another kind of music a play. Here's this brother's argument, and it's logical. God authorized the one body, the church, to do his work. I agree with that and agree with this brother. Now, Brother Porter goes out and he starts a Bible college. He has him a president, secretary, dean, all those unscriptural officers. Now, my friend, that's another kind of body different from the local church with its elders and deacons. Is Brother Porter consistent by saying this, that the one body is commanded to do the church of the Lord, then walk right out and start another body? He says, preacher, that's an aid, that Bible college. Well, if he can take another body like a Bible college and aid the one body, the church, there's two bodies, there's one body aiding another kind of body, why cannot we take one kind of music to aid us do another kind of music? Is the man inconsistent? Can he scripturally uphold some aids and condemn others? And especially these others that do not change the commandment of God. And notice this one, my friend. Another argument here. I'm going to show you something here in regard to this. Now you take, for instance, in the, here is another letter from out in California from one of his, used to be his brethren. But this good brother happened to be one of my converts through the Hunt Inman debate from Brother Porter's brotherhood. So I'm going to read what he had to say about it. Brother Bob Haddo. And poor boy just recently had polio and he's an invalid now in a wheelchair, but he does some debating. And hear what he says about the church building. According to Russell Boatman, president of Minnesota Bible College, there are quite a number of brethren in Minnesota who do not only reject the instrument, but also reject church buildings. They think it's wrong to have a church building. Those brethren in Minnesota, I've come in contact with them myself. There's some brother up here at Dayton, Ohio, who won't even ride an automobile to go to church. That's right. That's absolutely right. A whole denomination up there won't do it. Consider the following reasons. Here's the objection these brothers use against church buildings. First, church buildings minister to pride and worldliness. That's what they say about the instrument. There is neither scriptural authority nor precedent for Christians to build or buy church buildings. I preached too long, don't I? God gave instructions regarding the building of houses for religious worship in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, for example, but left such instruction out of the New Testament. History reveals that Christians in apostolic times did not build special church buildings. Therefore, God did not ordain the practice which is common today. To own church property as a church necessitates a departure from the simple New Testament church organization, in that it demands the adding of trustees and unauthorized office. So there's two kinds of houses, the church house and the house of God, the spiritual house, one aiding the other.